This episode is brought to you by Morty, Buzzshot, Cogs by Clockwork Dog, Recon, and supporters like you.
Welcome to a special episode of the Reality Escape Pod, your lifeline when you need to get away from the real world. I'm David Spira, alongside my co-host, PG Law, who is actually running the show today. We're giving you a special Los Angeles edition of her game show, PG's Playhouse. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Season 7 will be launching in a few weeks, and in honor of Recon taking place in Los Angeles this August, this next season of Repod will be all guests with experiences located in LA. And I might be a little bit biased because I was raised right here in LA, but I think it's one of the best cities in the world when it comes to escape rooms, immersive gameplay, immersive theater, not to mention incredible restaurants, bars, theme parks, you name it. We've got a ton of great stuff here. So make sure you get your tickets to Recon. As David has said, today I am taking over hosting duties to present one of our special games episodes. This one will be the LA edition, and we'll be playing a bunch of games and puzzles, all loosely themed around Los Angeles, the City of Angels. We have got some great guests joining us today, including recurring guest and my good friend Tommy Haunton, creator of Stash House, who we first interviewed in Season 3, Episode 7. Welcome, Tommy.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us today as well is Repod's very own producer extraordinaire, the one who cracks the whip and gets things done, Teresa Piazza. The only thing Teresa loves more than puzzles and games are her spreadsheets. Welcome.
That's true. That's a total fact. Thank you, PG, for that wonderful introduction. It is shocking to be on this side of things.
Last but definitely not least, we have David Spira, who I'm sure is very happy to be the PG of this episode.
I am very happy having no homework.
So how are you guys all doing? I hope you brushed up on some local LA lore. I'm going to quiz you. I'm just kidding. It's not going to be that intense.
PG, you told me that we were recording this and I went to LA last weekend to do my homework. I was literally just there. So I'm going to expense that, right, David? That's good.
Great. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll talk to Lisa about it. Cool. But I've done the homework.
Love a prepared guest. We love that here. Well, without further ado, I hope you have grabbed your gluten-free juice cleanses. I hope you've practiced saying the before freeway names, because we are launching directly into our first game, which is called Initial Here. Because Los Angeles is frequently referred to by its initials, LA, I have made a game where you will need to guess a two-word phrase, name, or title that starts with L and A. So for example, if I'd said, a trumpeter and singer famous for his song, What a Wonderful World, you would say Louis Armstrong. Okay? Make sense?
Got it.
All right. The first one is a popular Christmas movie set in London, following the romances of different couples who are all loosely interrelated. All right, Teresa looks puzzled. Tommy's nodding.
Love Actually.
I don't think I've ever actually seen Love Actually, and I was just talking this past Christmas about being home alone during Christmas and watching movies, and it was recommended to watch that, and I still didn't, so I'm going to get shame for this.
It's the best holiday movie. I watch it almost every Christmas.
There's some problematic things that don't hold up quite as well, but it's still very charming.
It's a classic. All right. The decorative foam on coffee beverages. Decorative foam on coffee beverages.
I don't drink coffee.
I actually have this one.
Teresa was very excited to have this one.
Yes, because it's something that I actually know. Hooray! This is latte art.
Latte art, which David doesn't drink coffee, and then Tommy only drinks his coffee black.
Pretty much.
So neither of you guys would have ever received latte art.
It's like my soul.
Lisa also only drinks coffee black, so this is all that I know of coffee.
Great inspired people only do that.
Okay. protective gear against radiation. Every one of you have probably worn this once in your lifetime. Tommy, you look like you got it.
Well, it's lead something. Lead armor.
Also had lead something.
Oh, I just got it. It's lead apron.
A lead apron that you get at the dentist.
Lead armor would also protect you. Very heavy.
So when I said, I guarantee you have all probably worn this at least once in your life, Tommy's nodding his head. So I was like, oh, he's got it. But little did I know, Tommy's nodding along going, well, everyone's worn lead armor. Like, who hasn't worn lead armor?
I knew what it was. An apron, armor, same thing.
I literally have a dentist appointment in 2 days. So I will be wearing a lead apron in 2 days and thinking of you fondly when I do it.
I've opened up with the easier games. It's only going to get harder.
This quotes really well.
Where are Anne and Chris when you need them?
All right. How about this? A terrestrial creature as opposed to birds or fish. What do you guys have?
Land animal.
Land animal. That is correct. How about happy hour time?
Late afternoon.
That's right. I tested this on your wife, Tommy, and she said lit afternoon.
Also correct.
She's not wrong.
I accepted it. I was like, we'll accept that answer.
Wait, PG, you're going to accept all sorts of different answers. I'm going to get creative.
I mean, you know what? If you can make it work, I will accept it.
Okay, great. I'm here for that.
A form of cinematography utilizing real people and animals, not produced by computer. What do we call this type of cinematography?
Live action.
An old term for a tomato. Does anybody know this really archaic old term for a tomato? This is a tough one. I mean, it's pretty obscure, but there aren't really that many phrases starting with L and A, so I had to dig really deep.
I think they were called love apples.
Yes.
Oh.
They used to be called love apples. David, I think it's from the French. Tomatoes were considered an aphrodisiac. That's why they called them love apples.
PG, mine was going to be lousy acting because it's what you throw at a terrible actor on stage.
You know what? I like that. We should have started Teresa doing this way earlier. A commodity that can be easily converted into cash money, hard green bills.
Liquid assets.
Your liquid assets. That's right.
When I was a kid, I used to really think that people would carry bottles of water around and that's what they meant.
I love that.
Yeah, see, you're thinking about that in the past, but that's actually going to be our currency in the future. Which is a thing that LA knows about, like too much water, too little water.
In Chinese, one of the slang words for money is water. Just like we call it dough. You got any dough? Chinese call it water. Good job, guys. And that was Initial Here. And now, Tommy, I think you have a game for us.
I do. So we all know in LA that the entertainment industry at large is very important and rebranding is really crucial. You might be established and you just want to really remake yourself, image is everything. So there is a Hollywood agent who is really excited to represent a bunch of escape room companies. And the only change though is he says that he wants them to change their names. Their names are too forgettable, too easy to confuse with everything else. So I'm going to give you a series of rebranded escape room companies that are fairly well known. And you will tell me what the original name was. And going forward, I'm going to be playing the agent. So I'm going to give a little intro and then I'll jump in. Hey, babies, Hollywood, you know, rebranding is key. Gotta stand out in this market. Too many of the same words being tossed out. Escape, exit, clue. People want drama. They want longer titles. They want bigger, bolder. So here are my suggestions, some improvements, okay? We're talking a local overhaul, a linguistic facelift that screams unique, louder than a peacock at a penguin party. Let's not break the mold. Let's obliterate it. Alrighty? So here we go. This first game is not really working out for me. It's too low. So the new name is 3,600 Ejected. It's an upgrade.
I don't know if this is right, but I was going to guess it's like hour to escape.
You're close. It's a number. If you started with the number, I added a number, made it bigger. It's the same principle.
60 to escape?
You're close. What's the second word?
60 out.
There we go. Yeah. 3,600 ejected. It's much more exciting. Okay, moving on to the next one. Now you got the idea. His spaces with many branching paths.
Maze rooms?
There we go. You got the ticket. Here's one more. It's running away from lack of clarity, understanding, or order.
Running away from lack of clarity. Confusion? Confusion escapes?
There we go. Now you got it. Yeah, see, these are much better titles. You know, those old ones kind of suck. These ones are memorable. They really jump out the mouth. Here we go. So domestic spaces, HGTV and all that stuff, it's all the rage these days. Remodeling shows got some real synergy with these games. These names have a more of a domestic feel. First one is horizontal door in the ceiling or floor.
A trap door?
A trap door is kind of hard to put in a ceiling. Think of a shorter word.
Hatch.
There we go. Some synergy with lost, maybe. Good. Okay. Here's another one. Home of hidden storage.
Basement?
I feel like this could also be hatch.
Home of hidden storage.
Is this Stash House?
There we go. That's a much better name. Stash House. What a terrible name for a company. Alrighty, last one. This really rolls off the tongue. The room below ground level.
That's the basement.
There we go. Alrighty. Now, last one. People love alliteration. Half of the Marvel characters, their real names, Peter Parker, Sue Storm, it works for them. Alliteration's all the rage. So here's some alliterative titles that are a little too short, if you ask me, but pay attention, okay? First one is Cuboid Container Containing Cunning Carnivorous Creature. Then again, Cuboid Container Containing Cunning Carnivorous Creature.
Square something?
Box something? Box.
Fox in a box. No.
There
box
we go. Yeah, rhymes is cute, but that rhyming was last week. This is alliteration. Okay. Next one is Encephalon Exhibitions. Encephalon Exhibitions.
What the hell is Encephalon?
I have no idea. PG and I are like, how quickly can we Google this word that Tommy's used?
Encephalon. It's a great word. It sticks out.
Okay, exhibitions. Exhibitions. You work with that.
Encephalitis is a swelling of the brain. Sometimes I get it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. A swelling.
It's more just involving that part of the head.
Brain games.
There we go. Yeah.
Is it brain games?
Brain games. That's a terrible name. Whoever came up with that. Alrighty. Last one is Official Office of Obscure Occurrences and Oddities.
That's the Ministry of Peculiarities.
What a terrible name. In any case, you got it. You know how it takes. Well done, everyone.
I'm here for this rebranding. It's a very LA thing. Thanks, Tommy. I look forward to you helping us rebrand the podcast, Tommy.
Happy to. Well, the agent left, but I'm sure he's happy to come back and help anytime.
Yeah, I feel like he's very proud of his ability to give notes.
Yes.
All right, Teresa, that's a pretty tough act to follow, but if anybody can do it, I know you can.
Good Lord. All right. I mentioned at the top of this that I was just in Los Angeles, and I believe I have flown into now all of the LA area airports. There is Los Angeles, John Wayne down in Orange County, Burbank Airport, Ontario Airport, and Long Beach Airport. So in this game I've created, I will ask trivia about LA, and you will answer with two things, both the answer to my trivia question and the airport code that is hidden inside that answer. Here's one about a New York area fact and a New York airport. So you're looking for something about New York in one of the New York airports. New York has the highest state income tax, so if you live there and play the stock markets, you may want to find a way to offset this specific type of tax that is applied to the sale of stocks.
Capital gains?
And what is the airport?
Yeah, that's what I was struggling with.
Is it LGA?
It is! LaGuardia split that capital ending in an L and the gains in the GA. Sneaky. Okay. So now you've got examples, and we will jump into the LA branded questions. And I tried to organize these from easiest to hardest. We'll see if I got that right.
Oh boy, I'm barely treading water at this point already. Okay.
It's okay. You'll get this. You're a native, right? Okay. So say you're in LA and you need some downtime. Why don't you go visit one of the many beaches or parks for some R&R? R&R stands for rest and
relaxation, LAX.
Woo, you got it. There you go, PG. And you said you weren't going to do that good. There you go, on the board. Next question. Dedicated LA sports fans who want to attend a Dodgers, a Kings, or Lakers games in person frequently will buy this type of entry to their sports games.
A season ticket?
And the airport?
Ontario, ONT.
It is right across that season ticket.
This has just become a collaborative game.
Yeah, I know. This is
okay. It's a group effort.
Okay. Next question. In-N-Out started serving this signature item in 1948 in Baldwin Park, California.
Animal fries or double double?
Give you some time to think about it. It's more generic than you're going, PG.
Milkshake?
David, constantly on the sweets.
Look, I have a brand.
Tommy, do you know what the other, what the airport codes are? I don't fly into anything but LAX.
We have ONT, LAX, BUR, and then John Wayne is...
Burger. Cheeseburger.
Oh, that makes more sense. BUR.
You got it. Hamburger, cheeseburger. I'd accept anything burger. BUR hidden in the middle of burger for Burbank. Next question. The first Pride March in Los Angeles, and some may say even the world, took place on June 28th, 1970. What is the acronym that encompasses what rights those marching were fighting for?
LGBTQA.
I would take that. The important part for that question was the LGB, which is Long Beach Airport.
Wow, I'm so impressed. You've managed to slot
impressive.
That.
You're squeezing these into all sorts of places.
For the record, that is the only way that any possible LGB appears in any word or phrase that I could possibly come up with. Literally, it doesn't exist anywhere else in the world.
Well, the folks at IATA who make these codes really could put a lot more thought into how the codes could be used in puzzles.
I agree. The LA region boasts hundreds of miles of hiking trails, but when you go hiking, you'll need to listen for the presence of this reptile, which tries to warn you to stay away before you can even see it.
A rattlesnake, and the airport code is SNA for John Wayne Airport.
You got it. You're getting good at these guys.
Wow, David, coming in clutch.
Here's one that is a little bit tougher. This Disney animated movie was created in the aftermath of the 1992 Los Angeles riots and explored the idea that if we don't learn to live with one another, we will destroy ourselves.
92, is it Toy Story?
No.
It is not Toy Story.
Toy Story is much later than that. We old.
It was the first time Disney made an animated movie about a real person.
Pocahontas.
And what's the airport, PG?
Ontario.
You got it. Congratulations. No.
Yes.
You nailed it.
Oh, my goodness.
Hooray.
Oh, we're going way back.
This is what you get when you get a producer having to create a game. Congratulations, everyone. You survived.
Tristan, it's really good.
Yeah. You fit in LA facts.
Yeah, the trivia and the puzzles. Like,
into them.
Bravo.
By the way, I know the John Wayne airport code as SNA, because I like to think it's because John Wayne was kind of a snake of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pilgrim, you say that.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Teresa. That was really fun. We're taking a moment to thank our upcoming sponsors for Season 7. Morty, Buzzshot, and Cogs by Clockwork Dog.
Morty is a free app for discovering, planning, tracking, and reviewing escape rooms, haunts, and other immersive social outings. And Morty is now available for all to use on its fantastic website experience, iPhone app, and its new Android app. I believe in Morty so much that I have a stake in it as an advisor.
Start discovering and tracking your immersive outings today. You can learn more at mortyapp.com/repod. That's R-E-P-O-D to sign up and get a special badge for our listeners.
We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Buzzshot. Buzzshot is escape room software, powering business growth, player marketing, and improving the customer experience. They offer an assortment of pre- and post-game features, including robust waiver management, review management, and branded team photos. Streamline your marketing and grow your escape room business. Repod listeners get an extended free trial and 20% off your first 3 months with no setup fees or hidden charges. Visit buzzshot.com/repod. That's R-E-P-O-D to learn more.
And thank you to sponsor Cogs by Clockwork Dog. Cogs is an easy-to-use software hardware platform for running interactive events, including escape rooms and other immersive experiences. They have plug-and-play hardware that seamlessly integrates with their software that makes it easy to create a show with lighting and sound cues. Get the Cogs starter set for only $130 plus free shipping to the USA. This bundle is usually valued at $257. You can learn more and purchase your starter set at cogs.show. Use code REPOD at checkout. Again, that's R-E-P-O-D.
Thank you so much to Morty, Buzzshot, and Cogs by Clockwork Dog. Our sponsors are making Season 7 possible. You can find the links and details in the show notes. Supporting our sponsors supports this podcast. That brings us to our second game, which was inspired by one of my favorite podcasts, Foreplay. I'm calling this one Common Grounds. The way it works is I will give you four sets of clues, and you will give me the common word between all those four clues. You guys can work together. They may not always be part of the clue in the same way. So it's some might be part of a phrase, some might be in the same type of category as it, things like that. It's a little bit more loose. After that, you will have the four answers. Those four answers will come together to form a meta. They make their own set, and you will give me the final connection between all of them. So the first one is conceal, reading, springs, and coconut. So again, that's conceal, reading, springs, and coconut. You guys can talk out loud. You can start throwing things out there. I would encourage you to think of maybe common phrases that have to do with some of the words and just start saying them out loud and see if they fit in with anything else.
I got reading rainbow so far.
Coconut rainbow. That works.
Yeah. Springs rainbow. Springs.
Concealed carry.
Box springs.
Poland springs.
Coconut water. Spring water.
Hope springs eternal.
Ah, oh, yes. Coconut.
What do you got?
The great coconut.
Coconut. Palm tree. Coconut.
Coconut oil.
Yeah. Oh, no springs.
I just want to let you guys know that somebody did say it at one point.
Are you kidding me?
It's rainbow.
Was it?
No, it's not rainbow.
No, I think the water thing, the water angle, coconut water, spring water.
It's springs, though, plural. Springs, sure. Reading.
Oh, it's
water
springs.
Reading.
I think we're going to have to move on to the next one and hope we can pull this one together later.
I can give you some extra clues at the end.
Okay.
So I did give you guys the harder set because I had given these to people and I know these were hard, but I figured there were three of you. But I can give you an additional clue at the end, too.
So I'm just so I understand the game, we are supposed to find one common word to those four words you gave us, and that's the answer.
There's one common word, and then we're going to do this four times, and then we'll use all of the answers to solve a meta.
This is better connections. I got it. Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Okay. So the next is berry, B-E-R-R-Y, Jesus, worker, and 34th. Again, that is berry, Jesus, worker, and 34th.
Miracle.
Yeah, that's right. Got it. Excellent work, Tommy.
Here I thought it was going to be Jesus berries.
No notes. I thought this one was going to be water.
So miracle berries are the magical little fruit that makes you perceive sound in your mouth for a second. Jesus, miracle worker, and miracle on 34th Street.
Guys, I got the first one. Do we want to go back? We did say it. I said it.
What is it?
Palm Springs, coconut palm reading, conceal something in your palm, like palm something.
Great.
All right. The next set of clues is spoon, fish, bullet, lining. Again, that is spoon, fish, bullet, and lining.
I got this one.
Me too.
I do believe this one is silver. Silver spoon, silver fish, silver bullet for all of your werewolf killing needs, and silver lining.
You guys all feel comfortable? Do you want to move on?
100%. But I just want to say that the silver bullet can also be used to kill silver fish, because anyone that's ever had an infestation of them in their house, I personally haven't experienced this. I would know nothing like this, but you do kind of want a silver bullet to kill them.
All right. This last one is probably the hardest, I think, but we'll see how it goes. Okay. I have 21st. Military unit. The letter C, so just C, and 100. So 21st, military unit, the letter C, and 100.
I think this is century.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys happy with that? You can do the meta.
So the meta, we have palm, miracle, silver, and century. Does this tie back to LA, Tommy?
So these all have elements. Palm is a neighborhood of LA. Miracle Mile, Silver Lake, and Century City are all areas of LA.
That is correct.
Woo!
Well done.
All Los Angeles neighborhoods. Great job, guys. Well done. Well done. Originally for Century, I had 80 soldiers. Hmm. I was making it way too difficult because a Roman Century had 80 soldiers in it, which you would think, why is it only 80 soldiers? It's supposed to be 100. It's because they had 20 slaves also. 20 slaves and 80 soldiers made up a Roman century.
I mean, say what you will about slavery, at least they counted them as people.
I mean, they counted them as people. Also, one of the nice things about Roman slavery, no racial
true
or ethnic component to it. And once you were freed, you were actually free.
Good job, you guys. That was Common Grounds. And Tommy, we have a second game from you now.
You do. So ever since the launch of Morty, reviewers have been able to share their opinions on experiences from around the world for all to see. Now, in Southern California, it's not uncommon to spot celebrities enjoying escape rooms. Naturally, it seems fitting that horror movie stars would gravitate towards horror experiences. But I have to tell you, they're pretty picky and not the greatest of reviewers. So let's put this to the test. I'll read a review of a game in Southern California, and you guess the game and the spooky reviewer. Ready?
Are we getting our buzzers ready?
Feel free to buzz in or collaborate, whichever feels better. And I will not be doing the voice, because if I gave away voices, it would make the character easier, so I will be doing a neutral reading. I often say that I'd like to play a game, yet what grinds my gears about this one is the insistence on having a precise number of participants. Six people? Really? It appears those who've played with me in the past are understandably a bit reluctant to join me in future games. Therefore, it's kind of hard to find friends to play with. Moreover, the notion that each player must fit neatly into some stereotypical box is laughably simplistic. Sure, I may trap people in boxes literally sometimes, but these broad generalizations can be offensive to those of us in this line of business.
Like Buzz?
Is that your buzzer, David?
Okay, who do you got?
Jigsaw.
Okay. And what game are they reviewing?
Oh, I forgot about the other part.
I got it. Sunglasses, Buzz. It's Hex Room.
Well done. I like the teamwork. This is Jigsaw reviewing Hex Room from Crossroads.
Nice.
Okay, next game. A set of decidedly unseasoned thumbs down. I was enticed with the promise of the ultimate dining experience in a very refined setting. An evening of unparalleled culinary delights, yet our host, good lord, he proved to be lamentably inadequate. We found ourselves setting the table, providing entertainment, and while our mood swing prone host made himself scarce, oof, the meal itself was a dire disappointment. The assortment of legs, limbs, and cuts of meat were woefully underseasoned, some even daringly raw, with nary a hint of ingredients, no fava beans or Chianti in sight.
Excuse me, I'm on the list. That was my buzzer.
Incredible.
That's good. Very good.
So good.
That is Hannibal Lecter reviewing The Last Supper.
Very well done. That's a shame. These people are so picky. Okay, next one. Thumbs Way Down. Decided to visit this much-hyped game to support one of my own, but turned out she's just one big crybaby. Given my infamous allergy, I warned her to keep those cursed tears at bay. Sure, the sets might be impressive, but where I hail from, our cities and even slippers are adorned with jewels, so it was hardly extraordinary. And those effects, please. I know the top special effects wizard around, so I'm never going back. The only roads for me are paved with gold.
Sounds like Wizard of Oz.
I know the game. I don't know the person.
Excuse me, I'm on the list. Is it Weeping Witch?
Okay. That feels like the right game.
One of their own. So I was going, the Wicked Witch. It's the Wicked Witch.
That's right. The Wicked Witch of the West playing Weeping Witch. Well done.
I thought this was going to be from horror movies.
I should have said more villains, but yeah, come on.
Is it good?
Yes.
Critics are the worst.
That was tough. David, did you have a story you wanted to do?
Yeah, I'll share a little story. So this whole episode, this whole LA theme, the theme of season 7 of Reality Escape Pod, all of this is because we are hosting Recon in Los Angeles this August. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you should do that. RealityEscapeCon.com. When we came out as a crew to pick a venue, we had just landed. We went and played a couple of escape rooms. We met up with someone for dinner, and then we started driving to our hotel. And it was a bit of a drive. As we drive down this long straightaway, we were getting constantly passed by fire trucks and police cars with their lights on, just like one after another. And it just keeps going. And we keep on driving. And eventually, I say to the car, "Would really be unfortunate if all of these vehicles were going to the same place we are." And just as I say that, we pull up to our hotel and the parking lot is flooded with emergency vehicles, all with their lights on. And so we go into the hotel. There are emergency services folks everywhere. They're not stopping us from going in. It turned out that the hotel was on fire. Someone was smoking on the third floor, set their blankets on fire. That was the beginning of our stay at the hotel that was the front runner to host Recon 2024. It was also not the low point of the stay. And so the front runner dethroned themselves. And that's how we ended up with our current venue, which is absolutely wonderful. And it's the Hilton that PG recommended. I believe it was also the Hilton that Survivor put you up in before one of the finales.
Yeah, that's the reason I know about it, is because that's the hotel that Survivor used to kind of use when they used to have live reunions. And we would all stay at that Hilton, which is great because it has a huge lobby. Lobby parties are the hottest part of Recon. They're the best. And then what's really great about the hotel is it's literally next to Universal City Walk. So you can just walk from the hotel straight to City Walk, go to Universal Studios, grab a bite to eat, go hang out on the City Walk, and it's super, super convenient. And to wrap this up, I have one last game. I don't have a great character like Tommy does.
PG, you are always a character.
Yeah, don't say yourself short.
This game will be testing your knowledge of Los Angeles-based escape rooms, and it is called In Other Words. I have taken the names of some of my favorite Los Angeles escape rooms, and I'll be describing them in other words. So, for example, if I had said a domicile for your accumulation, you would say stash house. Okay?
Got it.
I know that some of these are a little bit tricky, so y'all can feel free to work together. The first one is Magician's Hoard.
Wizard's Treasure.
Wizard's Treasure from 60 Out Hollywood.
Shout out to Grant.
Baker's Dozen Cellar.
The 13th Basement.
13th Basement from Ixit Games OC.
And Christine Barger, she's going to be speaking at Recon LA this year.
And Christine Barger was also a guest on Repod Season 6. How about Bountiful? I don't even know if I'm saying this word right. Archipelago.
Archipelago.
Archipelago. I practiced this like 10 times before we started.
That sounds like a military operation, by the way. Bountiful Archipelago sounds like a mission, you know, for like the Cold War.
Bountiful Archipelago.
Is this Treasure Island?
Treasure Island from Brain Games. That's right. Dog Snitch. What's a dog snitch?
Canine liar.
Oh, ha ha ha. Lab rat. Very sneaky.
Lab rat is a dog snitch. Lab rat from Hatch Escape. A Labrador retriever. And a snitch, like a rat, like you dirty rat.
Oh, gosh. Sorry. That took me forever to actually put it all together. You're a monster.
Yeah, that one was hard.
Shout out to our friend Alyssa for that one. All right. How about Enraged Door Knocker? An Enraged Door Knocker.
A door knocker could be like a visitor.
I had like Angry Fist, because you use your fist to knock on a door, and I don't think that's an escape room.
Someone make the Angry Fist escape room.
I'm just thinking, like, is the door knocker referring to the person, to the object, to the thing doing it?
I could say maybe crazy door knocker. Some people might say crazy, a crazy door knocker. What's a word that you would use to describe something that is enraged, but also maybe something that is crazy?
Lunatic.
Maybe a word that you heard from like Alice in Wonderland.
Mad rapper. Oh, knocker.
Nice. Very good.
Wow.
Mad rapper from Scenario Escapes.
This episode is brought to you by language that has fallen out of favor in the last century.
Say, who's that rapping at my door?
Buckle in, there's more. A frothy beer foam container. Frothy beer foam container.
Oh, I have this one. This is head case.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I'm on PG's wavelength now.
This is indeed Headcase from Breaking Point Escape Rooms. All right, how about this escape room? Orlando Basketball Team's Rustic Dwelling. The Orlando Basketball Team's Rustic Dwelling.
Magic Cottage?
Magic Cottage from Infinity Escape, which is a very charming room down in Anaheim. Okay, how about XL Pilferers?
40 Thieves.
Nice. Fast.
Wow, that's very good.
You should have said, why don't you just say extra large pilferers and then that would have really thrown us.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly where my brain went. So she was trying to trick us and she tricked me.
I was trying to think of like games that began with big.
Oh, that would have been good.
That was super evil, PG. Did you know what XL is, Tommy?
Yeah, 40.
I'm so impressed. Like, I had to look that up. For anyone else out there who is confused like I was, I had to actually look this up. It's because of how Roman numerals work, and L is 50. And since the X is 10 and it's before it, it's 50 minus 10, which is how we arrive at 40. Inky Komodo. Inky Komodo.
Is there a black dragon?
Black Dragon. Black Dragon, the new room from Escape Room LA.
I was thinking kimono
as well.
I thought
you said kimono.
Oh. And you guys might not be my friend after this last one. Judicial system that's only 3 feet long.
Courtyard.
The nice. Courtyard.
Nice.
From the basement. I'm impressed, David. That was super fast. So thank you guys so much. That has brought us to the end of PG's Playhouse, the LA edition. Tommy, I know you've been teaching a class. How's that going?
Yes, I am teaching an escape room class at Art Center. This is the second semester. It's going well. You came in judged one semester. I'm curious what your thoughts were.
I was really impressed with the escape rooms that your students created. So I went in and judged these projects. It was three different escape rooms, like actual escape rooms that were in like a, how big was the cube? 5 by 5?
8 feet. It's basically a cube with a wall missing.
Yeah, these were actual, like, fully realized escape rooms with props, with tech in it. I was expecting maybe, like, pieces of paper, but they had them all out, and I would pay money to play some of those. So I think your students did a really great job, and I'm super impressed. And what college are you teaching at?
It is the Art Center College of Design here in Pasadena.
It sounds really fun, and they offer a lot of amazing courses, too.
Yeah, it's fun, and you'll come and play the next semester. We just today went over the new semester's games, and they're going to build soon, so I'm really excited to see them get on their feet. It's really cool to see students take the idea of learning, and I try not to intervene too heavily on the design process until they're actually testing and up and running, but seeing the self-discovery of what works puzzle-wise and narrative-wise is really, really interesting.
And you got any other projects? I'm wearing a sweatshirt from The Shape of the Night.
I did a show in December called The Shape of the Night with a collective I'm part of called AOTW. And it was sort of an immersive party thingamajigger that mixed puzzles and immersive theater and narrative and let people sort of explore and have an evening in a cool immersive space and engage how they want it. I really like accessibility and letting people come and play how they want. So if you want to puzzle, you could do that. If you want to just drink and see cool stuff, you could. Or you want to follow story tracks, it was all available.
It was like an open world madcap puzzle party in the best way possible, kind of secret speakeasy vibe, warehouse party vibes. Are you guys planning anything like that in the future? Anything in the works you can talk about?
TBD, we're wanting to do more. It was a really successful run and we're really proud of it. So we'd love to be able to do it again. No definitive dates or cities. Definitely something in the future.
Okay, keep us posted. And if people want to follow you and your work, where can they find you?
Social media is a cancer in society, so you can just look up my name and go to tommyhutton.com and email me funny jokes or stories. I'm always happy to respond.
And Teresa, how about you? Any other projects you're working on besides this podcast?
I feel like there's always a project that I am somehow behind the scenes supporting and not the creative of, because that is just not what I do. I'm very involved with the Great Gotham Challenge. Many people have participated in that. I occasionally write for roomescapeartist.com as both a hive mind writer and have my own byline. And I just reviewed the escape room that Tommy created for Dropout for Game Changer. That was fun. What else am I doing? Getting really excited for Recon to go back to LA. I just saw a ton of friends. I saw PG. I saw Tommy. Really excited to go out there and play more games because clearly I need to brush up on my escape room knowledge in the LA area for the next time PG and Tommy create games so that I can do better at those.
I live here and I barely got half of them, so don't feel bad.
Sure you did. I think that pretty much sums it up. I am on the social medias and never post myself, so I feel a little bit like Tommy, so you should just go to roomescapeartist.com and get the daily emails. And then eventually when I write something and it's on the internet, it'll be in your inbox.
You've got one season under your belt of producing for Repod. How has it been so far?
It's been great. It's so interesting to see the entire podcasting process, from the ideas of an episode just being a twinkle in your eye to actually seeing it get created. Like, this episode has just evolved even from, yeah, we'll do something about games, too. We'll do something about games about Los Angeles, and then needing to create for that. Been really fun. I think we've added a lot of exciting process that is probably just exciting to me, the person making sure that all of the deadlines are met and that the season is released on time. And on time is something that we create for ourselves. And then once we set those deadlines, we meet them. So it's just been great. I am, like I said, not a creative person, just here to make sure the train stays on the tracks, and it's been smooth sailing.
I mean, Teresa is an extremely organized person, and creating efficient processes is really her forte. And so she's got us going with documentation for the podcast. So if somebody needs to take over one of our jobs, it's all there.
That'll never happen.
It'll never happen. But I did just finish writing a small book on how a season and an episode become a thing.
And so, David, you said that you actually had a few insights after writing this process that had not occurred to you before. Any off the top of your mind that you want to share?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, there are a couple of things that I think immediately jump out at me. One is just documenting what our recording equipment is. And we made a post and shared that more broadly so that if people want to sound good when they come on the show, that is available to them. But the other big thing that I realized I had never written down, and I don't even know that I had communicated all of this to PG, but there are topics that I have in my head banned. If they come up, they just get edited out of the episode. One of those topics is I have banned asking guests for their favorite / recommended escape rooms in their region or just in general. And I banned this topic because I have found that this question nearly always backfires. Less experienced guests tend to give answers that, it feels like they haven't played much in their area. And then we end up having to cut it because it sounds like they don't really know. And that's just the nature of owning an escape room. Is you play a lot less because you're busy running your thing.
They name the one escape room they played 5 years ago.
Right. That kind of thing happens. The worst is when the guest feels obligated to name every game in their area, every person that they're friends with, and also their frenemies. You can tell that they're like, some of these are like, I don't like this person, but I need to pretend like I am friends with them. So I'm going to name drop them now because I don't want to have to deal with the fact that I didn't name drop them. So like, I have banned this question.
I'm sure it takes the pressure off people too. Because yeah, the fear of like, this is obviously a very tight-knit, well-connected community. And I think obviously no one wants to deliberately offend someone or leave someone out. And the idea of making it more of a preening, people you have to think at the end of an award thing rather than like recommendations. I think there's other ways to get to that topic in a different way.
When we started asking that question, we thought that we were kind of doing a favor for the guest. And at first, my reaction was, I just don't really love the answers we're getting. And then over time, I started to realize that like, this is a bad question because it is actually torturing the guest.
Well, we have not asked any of our guests on this upcoming season of Repod what their favorite escape rooms are. However, we will be coming out with a new Los Angeles area recommendations list of escape rooms to play. I'm going to be working on that with Lisa this week, and we will have recommended escape rooms listed out by region. That way, when you guys come out for recon, you will know exactly which are the escape rooms you should be hitting up. We are so excited to host you out here in Los Angeles. I want to thank all of you guys for joining us today. Thank you so much to our patrons for listening to this special episode, the LA edition, and I hope your day is filled with play. This episode of Reality Escape Pod was written and edited by me, PG Law, and produced by Teresa Piazza. Music by Ryan Elder, logo by Janine Procht, and all of this is brought to you by RoomEscapeArtist.com, your home for well-researched, rational, and reasonably humorous escape room and immersive gaming content and events.
So I left a little dangling thing when I told my story that the fire wasn't the worst part of our stay at that hotel. The actual worst part of that experience was Lisa and I and a few of our friends were all using our hotel room to get ready to go to the Magic Castle. If you have been, you know that you have to get all dressed up to go to the Magic Castle. And if you haven't, well, now you know. While we are doing this, someone flushes the toilet and the toilet in our bathroom starts flooding the bathroom.
Oh, no.
So I rush in there, I make it stop, I ask someone to call the front desk and tell them so that they can send someone up. We're told that someone will be up to deal with this shortly, and I stand there holding the toilet's mechanism in place to keep it from flooding. And minutes turn into like tens of minutes. Eventually, I figure out how to jerry-rig up something to hold everything in place. And eventually, I suggest that maybe we call back and ask them where this maintenance person is. And so they call down to the front desk, and the front desk person says, oh, I'm glad you called back. I wrote down the wrong room number, and I figured, well, if I just waited long enough, eventually you'd call again. That was the moment that they lost our money.